I know what you're all thinking. Since the front part of the service was so much longer this week, that means that my part's going to be shorter. I know you're thinking that. You keep on thinking that. Go ahead and open to Acts 13 this morning. We're going to be finishing up in Acts 13. So Paul and Barnabas are at Pisidian Antioch. They have gone there. They have preached the gospel. And now the question is, now that they've preached the gospel, what's going to happen next? Because there's always something to come after the gospel is preached. Once the gospel is preached, something has to happen. Something is going to happen. It always happens. Somebody is going to respond to the gospel. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, I'm going to go over it a little bit, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about the different responses people have to the gospel. And the reason I'm not going to do that is because I actually did that like 2 months ago. So if you don't remember that, feel free to go online and look up the sermon again, because it's there. But I'm not going to do that this morning. So Acts 13, I don't want us to focus solely on what is the common responses that people have to the gospel after they hear it. Instead, what I really want us to see from this is how should we as believers, how should we be preparing ourselves for what comes after the gospel is shared? Because you see, there's still something for us to do as believers. I think a lot of times when we think about sharing the gospel, we try to keep it as condensed as we possibly can in our mind. And what I mean by that is, when we think about sharing the gospel, we think, okay, I'm going to tell you who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you what he's done, what he did on the cross, that he rose again, and then you're going to believe, and I don't have to do anything else. And that's an incredibly unrealistic view of what it's like to share the gospel. Because sharing the gospel is not simply saying, this is who Jesus is. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again from the grave for you. That is a part of sharing it, but understand, after we say that, we then have to continue talking to the person and answer their questions, or hopefully answer their questions, or pray with them, or there's more to it than simply saying, this is the gospel. And I know that kind of gets a little bit scary when we think of, okay, you mean I've got to do more than just tell somebody that Jesus loves them? Well, yeah, that's kind of what ministry is. Ministry is not just saying Jesus loves you. Lee was telling me before service that he heard a preacher one day get up in the pulpit and just say, Jesus loves you, and that's about the only kind of message that you really need to hear today. And then that was the end of the service. I'm not going to do that. I know what you're thinking. I'm not going to do that. Goodness. Y'all need to stop. So this morning, what I want us to see from this passage, we're going to look a little bit at what the common responses are to the gospel, yes. But what I really want us to see from this is how do we as believers prepare and respond once the gospel is shared? So look with me at chapter 13. I'm just going to read the rest of chapter 13 real quick, starting in verse 42. It says, As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So there's a few things that kind of come up in this passage, and a few things that I really want us to kind of focus on when it comes to what should we be preparing to do when we share the gospel. Beyond simply telling somebody what the gospel is, what it contains, how it pertains to them, what is it that we need to be doing? What is it we need to be doing to prepare ourselves to answer questions or to respond to people once they've heard the gospel? And first thing that I want us to see here is we have to know what to expect, church. What do I mean by that? The responses that we see to the gospel in this passage, they're the same responses that people had to the gospel in chapter 5, the last time we looked at people's responses to the gospel. Here's the thing. There's not an infinite number of ways for people to respond to the gospel. There are basically three core ways to respond to the gospel. They can look differently depending on who the person is, but at the end of the day, those are essentially the main responses, and we see those in this text. And so when I say we need to be prepared, we need to know what to expect from people when you share the gospel with them. Now, I'm not saying be clairvoyant and know exactly what they're going to say or what they're going to do or anything like that, but have a general understanding what is a common way that somebody is going to respond to the gospel. That way, you're not taken by surprise. Verse 42 says, "And they, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God." Verse 44, "The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord." I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because this is not really the main point of the text, but one of the most common responses to the gospel, indifference. It's a very common response to the gospel. And it's not as overt a response in this passage as it is in others, but, I mean, it's there. You see, verse 43, "After the meeting, many Jews and devout followers of Judaism came to talk to Paul and Barnabas." Many, not all. Verse 44, "Almost the whole city came out," meaning a lot of people came out, but not all. What does that mean? Not everybody cared. Some people heard the gospel. Some people heard what Paul and Barnabas were doing, what their message was, and guess what they did? Nothing. They stayed at home. It didn't matter to them. It's sad to me. It is sad that that is a response that people have to the gospel, a response of indifference, a response of apathy, that it doesn't matter to me. I don't see how this applies to me. It's sad that that would be a response to the gospel, but guess what, church? It's a very common one. Before I became a Christian, you know how I responded to the gospel before I got saved? I didn't care. I really could not have cared less. I was a 15-year-old kid, and I was going to do life the way I wanted to do it. I had certain opinions and certain views on things, and I have said when I was a teenager, I have told people, looked people in the eye who were telling me the gospel, and I looked at them and said, when I die, I might go to hell, and it really doesn't matter. I've said that. Indifference is a very common response to the gospel. But here's the thing. As believers, we're called to go out with the gospel and plant seeds. We're not responsible for the growth. We're not responsible for what God is going to do, how the Spirit's going to move in that person after the seed is planted. We're simply responsible for being obedient to God's calling upon us, which is to take the gospel to those people. If they're indifferent towards it, then they're indifferent towards it. That's not our responsibility. That's not something that we can control. But it is important that we know what to expect when we're talking about sharing the gospel with people and understand that a lot of times when we share the gospel, people are going to be indifferent. Just a few weeks ago, I was out playing golf, and I got a chance to meet an individual, got to play some golf with them, and I had an opportunity to share with them about the Lord a couple of times. And guess how that conversation went? It consisted of me talking to him about my relationship with the Lord, inviting him to come out to church, and him looking at me like a deer in the headlights. He wasn't angry. wasn't offended or anything like that. He was a little uncomfortable. But quite honestly, he didn't really care about what I was talking about. And you know what? That's okay. It is. It's okay that he was indifferent. It's okay that he didn't really care about what I was telling him about. Because at the end of the day, I was obedient. I was faithful to what God had called me to do, which was to talk to that person about the gospel. Now it's between him and the Lord on what's going to happen after that. So indifference. But then also, we see acceptance here. So after Paul is done preaching the gospel, the service breaks up, and many people come to him, many people come to Barnabas, and they want to know. They've got questions. They're interested. They want to know. Tell us more about what it is that you're talking about. This is interesting to us. And you know what, church? That's a good thing. And I know when I say that another response to the gospel is acceptance or interest in the gospel, of course, as believers, we're all going to say, yeah, that's a good thing. But you know what? A lot of believers in Christ are afraid to share the gospel because what if a person is interested in it? You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean by that. If somebody is interested in the gospel and wants to start a conversation and ask questions about the gospel, a lot of believers in Christ are intimidated by that because what if I don't know the answer? What if I don't know the answer? What if they ask me a question and I don't know what to say to them? What if they ask me a question and I've never heard that question before? I have no idea what to say to them. Am I going to steer them away from Christ rather than steering them to Christ? And we get afraid of all of these what ifs. What if this? What if that? And all of those questions and all of those worries and all of those concerns kind of collide. And you know what ends up happening? The gospel doesn't get shared at all. It's kind of weird. It's very ironic to me. And it should be ironic to you that one of the reasons that believers don't share the gospel is because what if somebody's interested and starts asking me questions about it? It's ironic and it's sad. Because you know what that really says? It says that the majority of God's church does not know the gospel well enough to answer common questions about it. That's really all that means. Because again, know what to expect. Know what to expect when you're having a conversation with somebody. Does that mean that we know exactly what's going to be said? No. But here's the thing, church. The gospel has been getting shared for 2,000 years now. A lot of responses have already happened. There's nothing new under the sun. The way that somebody is going to respond to the gospel, guess what? Somebody has dealt with that before. And there's a lot of common responses. There's a lot of common questions that people have about the gospel. How do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do you know that you can trust what the scriptures say? They're simple questions, but they're in-depth questions. And guess what? They're essential questions. Go back to myself for a moment. When I became a believer in Christ, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Would you please save me, redeem me from my sin, make me one of your children? When I made that decision, it was because I was interested in the gospel and because I had questions. Church, never be intimidated by somebody asking genuine, sincere questions about the gospel. Because guess what? Those questions have answers. And they're good answers. I promise you, if they were not good answers, I would not be standing here right now. I spent a long time asking questions, wanting to know, is this real? Is this true? How can I really know that this is true? And unfortunately, I don't have time to go in depth about what the answers to those are. We'll do that another time, I promise. But just know, church, know what to expect. And if you know what to expect, then you can prepare for what's going to happen next. Don't go into it blindly. Jesus didn't send the disciples out blindly. He didn't say, I want you to go out and tell people about me. Let me know how it works out for you. He told them what to expect. He told them, some people are going to listen. Some people will accept it. He said, some people are going to hate you. He said, the world's going to hate you. It first hated me, so it will also hate you. Jesus was not trying to put up some sort of facade or make us feel safe or make us feel comfortable. He was being honest and saying, when you go out with the gospel, this is what to expect. So church, we have to know what to expect. There's going to be indifference towards the gospel. There's going to be interest in the gospel. And yes, there's going to be hostility to the gospel. As Paul and Barnabas share the gospel, people are starting to get saved. And so what happens? It says that the Jews in the city became jealous. They're jealous because they're popular. People are not running to the synagogue from left and right. The synagogue is not being filled with the entire city because everybody wants to hear what the rabbi has to say that day. But everybody's coming out because they want to hear Paul. They want to hear Barnabas. They want to hear about this gospel that they're proclaiming. And so it made them jealous. And they became hostile to the gospel. They tried to demean the message. They tried to poke holes in the message that was being proclaimed. And after that didn't work, they threw that out and decided, well, you know what? What we're going to do, we're going to get the movers and the shakers of the city together, and we're just going to kick them out. We're going to get rid of them. And Paul writes about this in his other writings. This is not the last time that Paul gets kicked out of a city. It happens to him quite often, in fact. And he writes about it. He says sometimes he gets kicked out of a city. Sometimes it's just a matter of they tell him to leave, so he leaves. Sometimes they beat him with sticks before he leaves. They've stoned him to get him to leave. Paul experienced a lot of different ways of people saying, would you please leave our town? And I'm not saying any of this, again, I'm not saying any of this to scare you. I'm not saying any of this to discourage you. I'm saying all of this, again, because as your pastor, it is my responsibility to make sure that you, this church, are equipped to share the gospel. And I would not be doing my God-given responsibility if I don't make sure that as a church, we know what to expect when we're talking about sharing the gospel. Yes, there's going to be hostility. Ironically enough, in our context, in our cultural context, hostility, like out-and-out violent hostility, not a common reaction to the gospel. Because most people prefer just to kind of keep the status quo. So the most common response that you'll find when you share the gospel in our own cultural context is indifference. But we always jump to the worst possible scenario and think, oh, what if they try to kill me? I actually don't know anybody in North Carolina who went to somebody at Walmart to share the gospel with them and the person like brought out a knife on them or something like that. I haven't heard of anything like that happening to anybody that I know. If you have, then we'll talk about it after the service. But again, that's not common. But that typically is the worst case scenario that we typically jump to with our mind and think, if I share the gospel with someone, they're going to hate me, they're going to revile me, they're going to want to kill me. Honestly, they may not like you, they may find you weird, they may find you annoying, but that's about it. But say worst case scenario. Say somebody does absolutely hate everything that you're saying and they get violent. Here's the thing, church. Going back to Scripture again, we have not been given a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of boldness. The Apostle Paul actually experienced violent reactions to the gospel. In practically every province that he went to, he experienced some sort of violent reaction to the gospel, and he still continued to go into new places and proclaim the gospel. Why? Because the Holy Spirit does not give us a spirit of fear, of worry, of saying, God, would you please protect me? God, would you please make sure that nothing bad happens? No, the Holy Spirit gives us a spirit of boldness to say, God, put me in a new position. Put me in front of somebody new. Let me proclaim your truth to somebody new so that somebody might hear it and respond to it. And there might be a new brother or sister brought into the family of Christ. That is the spirit that the Holy Spirit gives to us. That is the attitude. That is the mindset that God gives his people, because God is a missions-minded God. He's an outreach-driven God. And the church is supposed to be a missions-minded, outreach-driven part of God's ministry. Okay. So moving on. So we have to know what to expect, but if something happens, if there is hostility, if somebody really genuinely does not want to hear what we have to say, or if somebody is indifferent, or something bad happens when we share the gospel, then what? Well, look with me again at verse 46 and 47. It says, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Then verse 50. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. 51. But they shook off the dust from their feet and went to Iconium. Church, there are going to be times, in fact, there's going to be a lot of times, where you share the gospel with someone and they say no. It's going to happen. I have shared the gospel with a lot of people since I became a Christian, and most of them said no. Most of them didn't want anything to do with it. And there's a reason for that. You know, that the average number of times a person has to hear the gospel before they respond to it in a positive way is 7. The average number of times a person hears the gospel before they respond to it in a positive way is 7. So yes, most of the time, when you share the gospel with someone, they're not going to respond in a positive way. But here's the thing. You have absolutely no idea where you fall on that spectrum. Are you number 1? Are you number 6? Could you be number 7? I don't know. Neither do you. And that's kind of the point. Again, we're not called to know the outcome of the conversation. We're not called to make sure that every person we share the gospel with says yes to Jesus. We're called to simply proclaim the gospel. And then God does the rest. Because it's ultimately what? It's his work. We're the tool. We're the instrument. It's his work. So what about when people say no? What about when there is difficulty in sharing the gospel? Be resolved. Be resolved in what it is that God has called you to do. Because look at what Paul and Barnabas are doing here. They're starting to face some friction here. They're starting to face some hostility in the city. They're proclaiming the gospel. People are starting to get saved. People are asking questions. People are interested in what they have to say. It makes the Jewish leaders jealous, so the Jewish leaders begin to attack the message that they're proclaiming. In verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. It did not affect them in the least. The fact that there were people speaking out against them, speaking out against the gospel, it did not make them cower in fear and think, oh my goodness, they don't like us. What are we going to do now? No, instead, they speak out. And they speak out boldly. Because we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness. And I love the way that it ends. They get kicked out of the city. They're run, literally, physically, they're run out of the district. The message, the gospel being proclaimed, is disliked so much by this group of people that they literally kick them out of the city. And I love how they respond to it. They shake the dust off of their feet, and they go to Iconium. See, sometimes, especially that first time somebody shares the gospel, that first time you share the gospel, if it doesn't go well, if the person doesn't get saved, or if they're indifferent, or if they're hostile in any way, it's very easy to then kind of retreat away from sharing the gospel and think, well, it didn't go well that time, so I think I just won't do it anymore. But look at what Paul and Barnabas are doing here. They're kicked out of the city. So rather than being afraid, rather than being embarrassed, rather than being annoyed, rather than being any of those things, it says they shook the dust from their feet and they went to Iconium. Meaning what? Meaning the opportunity here has ended, so we're going to go somewhere else where there is another opportunity and do it all over again. Because again, here's the thing, church. Most of the time when you share the gospel with an individual, they're going to say no. But that doesn't mean that every single time you ever talk to somebody about the gospel, the answer is always going to be no. Somewhere, there is a person who will say yes. But if we allow ourselves to remain in that moment of, they said no, I can't do this, I'm not going to do this, then we're going to miss out on every opportunity that God has for us from there on out to share the gospel and potentially see someone saved. When it says they shook the dust from their feet, this is actually exactly what Jesus told the disciples to do. When Jesus sent out the 70 in Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 70 and says, if they won't have you, shake the dust from your feet and go to the next town. It's actually it was a very common expression. It was a very common practice in Israel, in Jewish culture. See, the Jewish people wanted to keep themselves pure as much as possible. They wanted to keep themselves clean as much as possible. So if they were to actually travel into a Gentile land or a Gentile country or anything like that, then before crossing back in to Israel's territory, they would literally shake the dust from their feet so as not to contaminate Israel with the soil from another unclean land. So essentially what is happening here when Paul and Barnabas shake the dust from their feet, they're essentially saying that the Jews of Pisidian Antioch are no better than pagans because they have rejected the gospel, they have rejected God, they have chosen to be separated from God, and now they'll have to suffer the consequences of that choice. And it was their choice to make. But Paul and Barnabas, they're resolved. They know exactly what they've been called to do. They know exactly what God is leading them to do. And so what are they going to do? They're going to move on. They're going to go to Iconium, the next place that God has led them, the next place where God has opened a door, opened an opportunity for the gospel to be shared. Church, remember that. Anytime you share the gospel with someone and it doesn't go that great, they don't respond in the way that you would hope that they would respond, understand, there's another opportunity coming. There's somebody else who's going to be brought into your path, and they need to hear the gospel too. Do not allow one bad experience from sharing the gospel to spoil you from all of the opportunities that God has for you still to share the gospel. And then finally, verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This verse is specifically, it's talking about those believers in Pisidian Antioch who are being left behind because there were people who responded positively. There were people who got saved in the city. This is not saying that Paul and Barnabas proclaimed the gospel, nobody got saved, and they were kicked out of the city. No, some people got saved. There were a lot of people who had questions. There were a lot of people who were still looking for answers. But some people got saved before they were kicked out of the city. And this is talking specifically about them. But honestly, church, this is a verse that is applicable to anyone at any time. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas brought the gospel to Pisidian Antioch. They brought the gospel. They proclaimed the gospel to these people in Pisidian Antioch. And then they were kicked out. Now, here's my question for us, okay? Just think about this for just a moment. Do you think that when Paul and Barnabas were kicked out of the city, that they lost their joy for the Lord? Take your time. No! Of course they didn't! That would be ridiculous! And why would it be ridiculous? Because joy, our biblical true joy, it comes from the Lord. It does not come from anyone or anything else. I think that's something that a lot of believers today that we're missing. We're starting to overlook. You see, joy comes from the Lord and from the Lord alone. Meaning, the only reason that a believer could ever lose joy is if we start looking for that joy in something that is not God. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of us are kind of at that point now. The world has been turned up on its head for the past 4 months. Things are questionable. Fears are being cultivated. All these different things are happening. And people are starting to look for security. They're starting to try and look for joy. They're starting to try and look for peace in things that are not God. And it's causing fear, and it's causing distrust, and it's causing worry and anxiety and all of these different things. Why? Because you're looking for something in a place that you were never meant to find it. Paul and Barnabas, the people who brought the gospel to this city, they are kicked out. And these new believers, these people who received the gospel from Paul and Barnabas, they're watching them leave. They're watching them be kicked out of this city. And how do they respond to all of this? It says they're filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because their joy actually had nothing to do with Paul or Barnabas. They weren't joyful because Paul and Barnabas were there. They weren't joyful because they got to know Paul and Barnabas. They weren't joyful because Paul and Barnabas were just two really swell guys. That's not why they were joyful to begin with. They were joyful because of the Lord. They were joyful because they'd received the Holy Spirit. That's why they were joyful. In church, that is what true God-given joy does for his people. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of life are. It doesn't matter if today is really good or tomorrow is really bad. It does not matter because the joy of the Lord comes from the Lord. It is constant. It doesn't change. We find it from him and nothing else, which means life can be in a crumbling heap on the ground or life can be absolutely perfect, and a believer in Christ will have the same exact amount of joy because it's found in God and nothing else. And the moment we start looking for joy outside of the Lord, that is the moment where we start to find that we're fearful, that we're anxious, that we're worrying. Because we're looking for something in a place we were never meant to find it. And this is so important to remember, especially when we're talking about sharing the gospel. I mean, there have been times, there have been people that I've shared the gospel with who I truly care about, and I want to see them come to faith in the Lord. I want to see them say yes to Jesus. I desperately want to see them do it. And yet, anytime I talk to them about Jesus, they don't want to hear it. And that is discouraging, church. That's discouraging. It's sorrowful. It's any adjective you want to put in there. Because I love these people. I love this person. I want to see them say yes to Jesus. But no matter how much I do, no matter how many times I say it, no matter how many times I speak to them, it just doesn't seem to happen. And if we're not careful, those types of interactions with people when we share the gospel with them, the people that we know personally, the people that we love, that we care about, when those people say no to the gospel, it can be very easy to slip in to being sorrowful, to slip in to putting more responsibility on ourselves than we're really meant to. Because again, it doesn't matter who the person is that we're sharing the gospel with. It can be a family member, it can be a friend, it can be a coworker, it can be a complete and total stranger. We have the same responsibility with each and every one of those people. And the responsibility is simply share the gospel. Anything beyond that, that is between the Lord and that person. As much as we may want to be able to influence or control the outcome of things at times, we can't. So don't try to. Because I can promise you this, when it comes to sharing the gospel with people, as soon as you start putting the responsibility for them saying no upon yourself, you're going to start robbing yourself of your joy. Because you're starting to try and look for joy in a person or in that person's response to something. And you're not looking for that joy in the Lord anymore. So church, as we go into our invitation times, we begin to close up the service for today. Just wherever you are, you don't have to come forward to the altar or anything like that. Just wherever you are, ask yourself these questions. Number one, are you sharing the gospel? If the answer to that question is no, then I have a question for you. Why not? There's no follow-up. It's just, why not? Because we were saved. The church was created. We, as believers, were brought into the church for a purpose, for a reason. And it was to take the gospel, to take God's word to a lost and dying world. So if we're not doing that, then we're not doing the very thing that we were saved to do. So why? And honestly, the most common answer to that is fear. Fear of a lot of different things. Fear that manifests in a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. But at the core of it, it's fear. What if they say no? What if they ask something that I can't answer? What if it damages my relationship with this person? What if this person begins to view me in a different way because of this conversation? Church, we've not been given a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of boldness. Do not allow fear of a possibility keep you from having potentially the most important conversation that that person could ever have. Or maybe you've shared the gospel. You've had that conversation with a person, and you know what? It was a less than desirable experience. And that experience of sharing the gospel with somebody, it has put you in a position where you are just trying to avoid those types of situations anymore. You don't want to have a repeat of that last time. Do not allow one experience to shake your resolve, to shake you away from your purpose and your mission that has been given to you by God Himself. Because that is exactly what we're talking about here, church. the mission of the church, and we are the church. Remember that, okay? It's very important to remember this. This building is not the church. We, the people, are the church, and the church's mission from Jesus himself is to go into the world with the gospel. Don't allow one experience to shake you of your resolve, to shake you of your purpose, of your mission from God himself to take the gospel to the world. Or maybe you're one of those believers who, like so many other people right now, your joy is just something that is so far away, something so distant, you just can't grab onto it anymore. It's something that you remember having. It's something that you know you had at one point in life, but you just don't know what it's like to have it anymore. So I would encourage you, take a few minutes and ask God, what is it that you're looking for that joy in? Because as long as we are looking for joy in the Lord, we never lose it. It's when we begin looking for joy, for peace, for comfort, for those things outside of the Lord, that's when those things become unreachable. So wherever you are, maybe you've never shared the gospel and you need some boldness from the Lord to put you in a position where you have that conversation. Or maybe you've shared the gospel and you're afraid to do so again. Or maybe you're here today and you don't have any joy. Wherever you are today, church, take these next few moments. Spend some time with the Lord. Ask him to work in you. Ask him to reveal things to you. Ask him to give you that boldness. Ask him to give you that resolve. Ask him to give you that joy, whatever it is that you might need this morning. And be ready to go out from these doors today with the gospel in hand, ready to tell anyone who is willing to talk to you about it that Jesus is Lord, he is King, and he has risen from the dead. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Father, thank you for the time that we have had to gather together for worship, for fellowship. And Father, would you please move and work in minds and hearts this morning? God, give encouragement where there needs to be encouragement. Give conviction where there needs to be conviction. Give boldness where there needs to be boldness. But God, please do a work, do a movement in your people today. Give us all the boldness, all the desire to go out from these doors armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, ready to tell this world, to tell this community of the goodness of you and of your Son, Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Won't you stand, church?